It's time for you to press in. The Lord doesn't want you just to get by. He wants you to have an abundance. But it will require more of you. More time in His Word and in His presence. A greater opening of your heart to receive what He wants you to have. It's time to rise up and to face the challenge. Like God told Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now it's your time. It's your time. It's your time to press in. It's your time to move forward. It's your time to become whom God has called you to be. So come forth boldly and embrace what God wants to do. You may have thought one way, others may have thought another way, but God has His way." Amen? And if that speaks to your heart, you just take it and ask the Holy Spirit to help you with it. And if it's not for you, you don't have to concern yourself with it. Amen? But I believe that God's speaking that to someone tonight. You're here. I don't think anything is by coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence, but I do believe in divine design. And God designs things, but Satan's designs things too. Well, he perverts things. He can't really create anything. So, amen. Well, you may have your seats. Praise God. God's presence is here. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness in giving. We hear, you know, gifts can be given anytime during the service. We have that container in the back. And so if you want to give a gift, if you're prompted to give a gift, then you can do so. So, Father, I pronounce a blessing on every gift and every giver. Lord, you are the originator. You are the original giver. And, Father, we just follow after your pattern. And as we give, Father, it'll go forth into your kingdom. It'll be blessed by you, and it will multiply. And we give you thanks and praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Want to let the men know that we're going to have our last Barnabas meeting of this year on December 29th, Saturday at 8:30 a.m. And so coming up in the next few weeks. And I want you to join with me in prayer. So, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for every family, Lord, that is empty on the inside. Lord, I pray that you would begin to fill them with your word and your spirit. Father, you are the God of all comfort. And Lord, I ask that this be an opportunity for you to make yourself known. And Father, if there are any families who are going through this that don't know you, Father, I pray that you bring them to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, you let them know that you love them and that you care for them and that you have plans. And Father, with you, we can overcome evil. And Lord, I ask you to heal the wounds and bind up the broken hearts. And Father, I ask that a door, that an open heaven be opened. And Father, that your gospel would go forth in Connecticut. And Lord, that you would show yourself strong. Let the truth be made known, Father. And Lord, comfort every family member that is facing the tragedy. And Lord, we know that you are good and gracious and greatly to be praised. And you have a way. You are the way maker. So make a way there, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like you to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. See, in order for our faith to be effective, and for it to work as it should, and for us to produce results with God's power, we need to have the right mixture of persuasion and action. Last week we talked about faith without works is dead. And so when we have the right combination, our circumstances will be changed and we will grow and prosper. How many believe that? You know, sometimes when we bake something, you know, and maybe we're trying to duplicate a family recipe, but maybe there's a secret ingredient that we missed or left out, and you get finished with your baking and, you know, it just doesn't taste right because there's something that's missing. All right? Well, I want to talk to you tonight about the right mixture of faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. We'll start with verse 1, but I want you to pay attention to verse 2. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So you might say that they didn't have the right mixture of faith. And I want to read this from the Amplified, because it kind of expands it a little bit more. Verse 2. For indeed we have had the glad tidings of God proclaimed to us, just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because it was not mixed with faith. That is, with the learning of the leaning of the entire personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with Joshua and Caleb, the ones who heard did believe. So notice what he said, that there was a promise of entering into God's rest. Everyone heard the promise. It benefited some, but not everyone. Because the ones who benefited from the promise mixed faith with what they heard. The ones whom the promise didn't benefit, they didn't mix faith with it. Okay? Now that word profit means to be useful or to benefit. And the word mixed means to commingle. And it speaks of association or companionship or a resemblance. And the word rest, it means to come to an end, to refrain. It basically means to cease from works. Okay? Now, we got to back up a little bit in Hebrews chapter 3 to see why they didn't mix faith with what they heard. There are some things that are going to help you, or there are some things, if you don't do them, will hurt you, and you're not going to benefit from what God said. Okay? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Hebrews 3 and 7. The Bible says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice. How many know it's important to hear God's voice? When you need a circumstance change in your life, you need to hear the word of God, but you also need to hear the voice of the Spirit. You know, a lot of people hear the word, but they're not hearing what the Spirit said. That's why Jesus, he ministered to people differently every time. What was the difference in how Jesus ministered? Like, you know, one person, he said, stretch forth your hand. The guy stretched forth his hand. Other people touched him. Sometimes he would spit. You know, he'd put his finger in people's ears. The AMA would have some problems of how Jesus healed people, right? Because he was just as much listening to the Holy Ghost. And notice he said today. How many know that you need to hear God's voice every day? We need to have a balance of both the Word and the Spirit working together. Because God can give you a Word, but the Holy Spirit is the one, he'll help you activate it. He'll help you possess it. Okay? So, number one is you've got to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit's voice, you might not benefit the promise that you've been given. Okay? You know, the leading of the Spirit, now, he always coincides with the fruit of the Spirit, with the characteristics of Jesus and a good attitude. If someone is genuinely being led by the Holy Spirit, they're going to have the fruit of the Spirit, they're going to have a resemblance to Jesus, and they're going to have a good attitude, right? Because how many know the Holy Spirit doesn't propagate a bad attitude? What does the Bible say? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And if we have a bad attitude about things, he's going to be grieved. So when someone is saying, okay, I have this promise, and then you have the voice of God to help you to possess that promise, you know, you have to have that. Your behavior, your words, your obedience, and your humility, they all affect your faith. Faith works by what? No, faith works by what? Love. Faith comes by hearing, but it works by love. So when you're not treating people right, your faith won't be able to have the right mixture. Because if your love walk has a problem, your faith is going to have a problem. God will not honor faith if that faith... See, go with me for just a minute to 1 Corinthians 13. I just want to show you something. Okay? Look at verses 1 and 2. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. How annoying is a tinkling cymbal and sounding brass? Though I have the gift of prophecy, I can prophesy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and if I have not love, what am I? Nothing. Because if you are a person of love, love is going to behave in a certain way. And it goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians 13 how love behaves. Why am I starting with Hebrews 3? Because that tells us what happened before we got to Hebrews 4. There's reasons why that they didn't mix faith. There's reasons why that the promises of God don't benefit certain people. Because they're missing an ingredient. Go with me to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. And let's look at verse 8. Psalm 81, verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto you, O Israel, if you will hearken unto me. Notice, if you will hearken. If you will listen. We have to be listening all the time. There shall no strange god be in you, neither shall you worship any strange god. Now, if a strange god is, let's say you have an opportunity to worship a strange god. Now, a strange god could be any idol. It could be anything that we put above and first instead of God. Watching TV could be an idol. Texting could be an idol. Now, if you're listening to God's voice, you're going to hear inside you that that's wrong. Don't get connected with that. And now you have a choice. You have this idol before you, but then you have God's voice, and now you got to make a choice. Which one are you going to go with? Are you going to worship the idol anyway and disregard God's voice? A lot of people do, because they don't listen. Verse 10, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. So if you want to be able to say more, what do you need to do? Open your mouth wide. You got to make room for God to put some more words in you. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh my. When we don't listen to the voice of God, the promise will not benefit us like it should. In other words, we won't find it useful. We won't have the understanding and how to operate in it, because that comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, in Deuteronomy 18:19, don't turn there, but it basically says, you know, people have to listen to the voice of the prophet. Why do you think God anoints certain people to speak? He anoints certain people to speak for a reason. Well, I know the God, you know, I know God and I can speak. You know, that's what Korah said to Moses. Korah was not put in the place of authority. God puts people in authority, amen? And Korah said, well, I can hear from God just as much as you, Moses. How'd that turn out for Korah? The earth swallowed up everything of Korah and his family and his goods. Because Korah would rather listen to his own voice than the voice of the Holy Spirit. Go back to Hebrews 3. We're going to be camping out in Hebrews 3 today. We're making our way to Hebrews 4 too. We're on a journey. Okay? Look at verse 8. Hebrews 3:8. He says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So number two is, don't harden your hearts or be stubborn. Say, I'm not stubborn. A hard heart leads to rebellion. Okay? A hard heart, to harden one's heart, it means you refuse to listen or understand what someone is saying. Yeah, I hear what you say, but I'm not going to do it. I don't care. That's rebellion. You know, the poster child for hard-heartedness was Pharaoh of Egypt. God sent Moses to go before his court. He said, let my people go. He heard what Moses said, didn't he? And what was his response? No. And every time he said no, there was a plague that came on his country, on his people. The plague would hit Egypt, and everything would be fine in Goshen. It'd be dark in Egypt, it'd be light in Goshen. There'd be water turned to blood in Egypt, the water was fine in Goshen. Okay? But he refused, and the Bible says he hardened his heart. It also means to stop your ears. I don't want to listen to it anymore. Okay? And he refers to when they tested God at Meribah. They contended with God. You know, they had a dispute over water. They were without water for 3 days. And when the people get angry, so you don't want to harden your heart. What's the opposite of hardening your heart? Keeping it tender, pliable, soft. In other words, teachable. We should never get to the point where we know it all. You know, you could... One time this person was sick, and this minister who was young, he was green, he went to this person's house, and he began to minister healing to this person. And so he began to quote like Isaiah 53:5, and the guy who was sick said, "Oh yeah, I know that." And so he quoted the minister quoted another scripture, and he says, "Oh yeah, I know that." He said, I know all the healing scriptures." But yet he was sick. And you know, this young minister, he didn't know what to do. And he just said, "Well, if you know it, then how come it's not working for you?" Because that person was allowing their heart to get hard. You know, Romans tells us not to be too highly minded of ourselves. Don't think of yourself too, you know, don't think of that you're more important than what you really are. I'm paraphrasing. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. That's it. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. You know what? If someone tells you something that you already know, you should say, "That's great. Thanks for telling me that." I guess we'd all be speaking to ourselves now, won't we? See, they wanted to see what God would do. They refused to do what God said. And they refused to listen to God. See, when you don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you're on a path to having your heart become hard. And when your heart is hard, God can't do anything with you. Matter of fact, you become God's opponent. A hard-hearted person becomes God's opponent. Go back to Hebrews 3. And verse 10. "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." To err means to rove. It means that you're an imposter, a misleader. It means you're a deceiver and seducing. That's what it means to err. It means to go astray, to cause to roam from safety. It's like when it's pouring down rain and you have one of those golf umbrellas. You ever see one of those golf umbrellas? You can put about three people under that umbrella. Now, anybody that wants to get under the umbrella, they won't get wet. It's when you get out from under the umbrella that you expose yourself to getting wet. That's what it means to go astray. You leave from safety. You go away from truth. Now, here's what the Lord showed me. When one errs in his heart, he cannot perceive, know, or recognize God's ways. When you see, because the Bible says, with the heart man believes. And if you're erring in your heart, You're not going to be able to recognize or perceive God's ways. God could be moving in a great way, and you'd be like, what are you talking about? I don't know what's happening. Did you know that when Moses went on the mountain and God spoke in thunder, Moses heard a voice, but other people heard thunder. They couldn't distinguish when God was speaking to them. There's a lot of people that have erred in their heart because they cannot perceive, know, or recognize God's ways. How can one who errs, who's erred in his heart, begin to know and recognize God's ways? Repent. Thank God for repentance, amen? Thank God that his mercies are new every morning. A second thing, when one errs in his heart, confusion and disorder come in. When you err in your heart, confusion and disorder will come in. God's a God of order. Satan's a God of confusion because he's a liar, a deceiver. He's in darkness. He's all for chaos. A third thing, when one errs in his heart, there is a lack of power of God operating and flowing. When we err in our heart, things become harder and harder and harder and heavier and harder. There's a lack of God's power. A fourth thing, when one errs in his heart, he becomes unsubmissive to authority and critical of what the leader says and does. That's what happened to Korah. He began to criticize Moses. They began to criticize the authority. God, if you're really God, why don't you come down off that cross? They were unsubmissive to authority. I'm going to do it my way. Another thing is, when one errs in his heart, wickedness comes in and leads to unbelief. When you don't know God's ways, it's going to be hard to believe, isn't it? When you don't know how God heals, it's going to be hard to believe for healing. When one errs in his heart, restlessness and anxiety set in. Because notice verse 12 of Hebrews 3. Well, verse 11 says, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That was a process. It didn't happen overnight. When one errs in his heart, God is against you and not for you. Look at God was swearing in his wrath. Do you realize that a whole generation of people had to die in the wilderness? They could not go in. Why? Because they complained. They, you know, if you go back and read the story in Numbers 14, it tells you what they did. When one errs in his heart, he is disloyal to God, and his mind and will contradict God's will. My way. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care about anything else. I'm going to do it my way. Go ahead. Another thing, when one errs in his heart, he behaves contrary to what the Word has taught him. They start to behave differently. Another thing, when one errs in his heart, he disobeys the Lord's commands. Okay? But aren't you glad I'm not going to leave you there? How can we prevent our heart from erring? I'm so glad that you asked that question. Go to Hebrews 3, verse 13. Here's how we prevent ourselves from erring. but exhort one another. How often? Exhort, encourage. Cindy, you can make it. You can do it. I know you can. God is with you. Come on, Tony, hang in there. You can do it. You can do it, Elliot. I know you can do it. Exhort one another daily. When you see someone starting to err in their heart, you've got to encourage them. You've got to pray for them. You've got to do what you can do. You've got a license to provoke. I'm Douglas Pishka, licensed to provoke. That's what Hebrews says. We're licensed to provoke in love, aren't we? You know? You got to get a spiritual cattle prod. Get some people motivated. Okay? But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to encourage one another. Sin is deceitful. Sin lies to you. You think that you're right, but you're not because you're deceived. Do you realize that when someone is deceived, they don't know it? It takes someone with another perspective to shed some light on some things. You know, there was a time in my life when I was in sin. I had a bad attitude. This was when I was living in Tennessee. I was complaining and murmuring and carrying on like a crazy person. Finally, I was somewhere and someone said, you know what, you've been talking about this a lot. Something happened like 3 or 4 years ago. They said, you're still talking about it? I didn't realize I was until they said that. And, you know, thank God that I have the wife that I do, because she looked at me and she said, look, she said, if you're going to carry on complaining like this, we're going to have issues because I'm not going to be hooking up with someone that's going to complain and carry on. It's like, okay. Sometimes you need someone to set you straight. Thank God for godly spouse that can set you straight if no one else can. Sometimes we need the slack jerked out of us because we have crazy things because we're not listening to the Holy Ghost. And when we're not listening to the Holy Ghost, our hearts become hard and we start to err in our hearts. And it shows up in how we carry ourselves. But we can exhort one another. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ. Christ is the life and the resurrection. He can bring you out of depression. He can bring you out of the pit. He can change your situation. He's a very present help in trouble. He's the glory and the lifter of your head. You got to turn to Christ. Turn to the rock. Yes, Peter denied Christ, but then he got over it. He didn't stay in denial. He got out of Egypt. No, that was just a joke. Denial, Egypt. All right. For we are made partakers of Christ if, notice now, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You got to hold it from the beginning to the end. You can't cash in your confidence. You know, when you cash in your confidence, there's no reward. When you give up confidence, when you give up hope, there's no reward. When you agree with defeat, you will be defeated. Aren't you glad David didn't cash in his confidence when he faced Goliath? Do you realize that he went there as a shepherd boy? But you know what? He was always willing to fight if the cause was right. While it is today, verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some when they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Praise God for the people that did hear his voice. Amen. So go on to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest as he said. Aren't you glad that all it takes to enter into his rest is to believe? I believe God. I'm making up my mind that I'm going to believe God. God, I'm sorry for my attitude. I want to take on, you know, love, joy, peace. That's a much better attitude to have. And you can change it anytime. You don't have to put up with a bad attitude. You can exchange it for a better one. How many want to upgrade? Amen? You can upgrade. Praise God. You can enter into his rest. Now, I want you to go to John chapter 4 for a minute. I've given you a good dose of faith. Now, I want to touch on healing and how that works. John chapter 4. Because this is faith and healing, amen? But if you get the faith part, the healing will be a lot easier. You know, when you strengthen the foundation, you can build a bigger house. The stronger your foundation is, the bigger house, the bigger building that you can build. John chapter 4, verse 46. Well, we'll start with verse 43. Now, after 2 days, he departed there and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, saying, see all the things that he did at Jerusalem. Notice the Galileans, what did they do to him? They received him. Are you in a receptive mode tonight? Okay? Having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. Now this was talking about all the people that went to the wedding, where he performed his first miracle. When they saw what he did, they were receiving him. That's important. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. So he was sick. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, what did he do? He went to him. So I want you to notice that this guy had a need, and he knew where to go to get the answer. He went to him. Okay? That's an act of faith. And he besought him that he would come down and do what to his son? Heal his son. He obviously believed in healing, because he came to Jesus and said, would you heal my son? For he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Did the Israelites who got out of Egypt, did they see signs and wonders? Did you know that faith doesn't come by signs and wonders? God can perform signs and wonders all day, and that's not going to generate faith. Faith comes by hearing the word and receiving it into your heart. Because there were a lot of people that saw signs that had no faith. Now the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Thank God that the nobleman didn't quit. He didn't give up. He could have said, well, Jesus is not interested in my problem. I'm going to go home. But he kept on. He was persistent. Is that a quality of faith? Absolutely. Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son lives. And the man, what? He believed what? He believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. That's a sign of belief. Did you know that when you're in belief, it brings relief? He could hear the word, and he could go his way. Why? I got a word. I went to Jesus, and he gave me a word. And I'm walking in that word. I'm resting in that word. I'm confident in that word. I'm secure in that word. Okay? And he was now going down. His servants met him and told him, saying, what? What did his servant say? See, when you go and resting in God's word, it's going to produce results in your life. His son was point of death, but because he trusted the word, now he's living. Then he inquired, he of them, of the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said. The very minute that the word went forth, he latched onto that word, he believed it, and that was it. The moment Jesus said to him, thy son lives, and himself believed, and who? Faith is contagious. All a house needs is for one person in the house to believe. When one person in the house believes, you'll cast the doubt out. Because faith is stronger. Okay? He believed and his whole house. This again is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So what do you believe tonight? Do you believe what your circumstance is telling you? It's never going to happen. It won't come to pass. You're foolish to believe that. Or are you going to believe what he said? And when you believe what he said, you're going to hear the Holy Spirit's voice to carry out what he said. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to you to do something. Because faith always has to have an action. A persuasion always has to be associated with an action in order for it to come to pass. Now, the Lord may tell you to do something, to give something, to say something. You know, whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you to do for the word that God gave to you, that's what's going to make it alive. Then you've got to do what the Holy Spirit says to do. If you don't, then you're taking a position of hardening your heart, and eventually you're going to err, and eventually the promise that you have won't work. And then you'll be blaming God because it didn't work, and it's not God's fault. Amen? Do you see that? So Jesus, all he said was, your son lives. That's all the man needed to hear. That was it. He was convinced. And he started to affect others, his household. I bet that household began to change because now faith was received in the household. Where was faith before? They didn't have the word of God before. Guess what? He went and got it. Sometimes if it's not coming to you, you got to go get it. God, show me where that promise is. I need your promise, Lord. You go get it, and you stand on it. You know, this is the pearl of great price. You can sell everything for this, and you'd have more than what you sold. But if you lose this, if you leave this, you have nothing. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, you've gained nothing. Amen? And if it's okay, I would like to pray for, I feel led to pray for Leonard and Sandra. This is Harvey's son and daughter-in-law. They're such a blessing. And they've come tonight because God just wants to impart a blessing to you. Is that okay if I just pray for you? Father, you guys can just sit down. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just give you thanks and praise for the power of God and the goodness of God. Lord, I give you thanks and praise for your will being worked out in their life. Lord, you are so good and gracious. I bless them in the name of Jesus with a new and fresh anointing. Father, may you strengthen them and invigorate them in the name of Jesus. And I give you thanks and praise, Father. You're an awesome God. And Lord, by the Holy Spirit right now, you just put into them what they need to have in Jesus' name. Lord, I don't know what it is, but you do, and I just lay my hands and I release that anointing into their lives right now. Maybe it's a renewed vision. Maybe it's new strength. I don't know, but God knows. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that they just receive what you put into them. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God's got great things for you guys and your family. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you need a situation in your life to change. It changes when you believe what God says about it. When you listen to the voice of your Holy Spirit. Now, not everybody feels led to come, or sometimes you feel led to come up and you don't want to because you're fearful or whatever reason, or you're worried about what people think. You got to put that aside and you got to do what the Holy Spirit says to do. Amen? Why don't you, if you can, just stand up. And I want you to begin to worship the Lord. And if you feel like you need prayer for anything, I want you to come up. You don't have to come up, but if the Holy Spirit is telling you specifically to come up, then I will pray with you. But just take a moment and just give the Lord praise. Play that last song that we did in worship from the Hill Song, I think it was. And only if you feel led to come up, you need prayer, you need God to do something. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father. I think that God is going to anoint everyone here fresh. And you're going to visit your families at this season, and they're going to see a new you. A fresh anointing is going to come through you. Hallelujah. You need an anointing to minister to households. You need to connect with the power of God. Maybe you're here tonight and maybe the Holy Spirit is telling you you need to change something. Maybe God is not pleased with what you've been doing and what you've been saying. Well, he'll give you an opportunity to repent and to change. And when you repent, you will experience his refreshing. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Lord. And if you need to go, you can go. We're just going to wait on God for a minute. Hallelujah, the Holy Spirit is here. Hallelujah. He's raining down. He's moving in our midst like a mighty water. Father, yeah. Lord, let the joy that's in her, Father, be like us. Don't harden your heart. Don't err in your ways. And what God said, mix your faith with it. Be fully persuaded. Be convinced that what he said he can do, he can do. He's able and will bring it to pass in the name of Jesus. Say this with me. Say, my God cannot fail. My God cannot lie. He loves me. He helps me. He fills me. He's called me into him, and I'm going to follow him with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength in Jesus' name. Amen. So go and be refreshed. Be blessed.